a really good win for our team. I was proud of the way they came back and how resilient special teams played. Probably its best game of the year, I think, consistently and through all phases. Again, the punt return by Garrett Juergens was a real catalyst for our team and just a lot of really positive things. So we have gained significant momentum, looking forward to our next opponent, and we go from there. So I'll take questions if you have them.
When you face a team that struggled like Wagner has, what's the biggest challenge?
Well, I think the biggest challenge will be probably managing the external environment. You know, so inside our message will continue to be working on improving, which we think there's plenty of room to improve. And I don't think the players will see, feel, or acknowledge anything that's different from us this week. But I know from the outside it won't be presented as such. And so, you know, our players, just like anyone, are impressionable. And so it'll be managing a different kind of challenge and having to show as much or more maturity as if maybe there was a ranked opponent coming in. So just a different kind of challenge. And I'm sure the team from Wagner will do the very best they can, and the kids will play hard, and it'll be a great opportunity for them to see if they could upset a team like us. But our focus is really just on, man, how much can we improve and what else can we do to continue to gain momentum through our season.
You've had these games in the past. How do you gauge improvement in this, you know, in this week?
Usually by what I see daily, execution-wise in practice, what I see mindset-wise, what I see execution-wise, what I see in terms of work ethic and consistency. And usually that manifests on Saturday, not all the time, but usually. And so really what I notice it more, not just as a one-day thing, but just as a weekly progression. And that's where I find the most solace. And so our staff, our meetings are the same, our mindset is the same, our waking up is everything's the same. It's just the next opponent.
There's three offensive linemen starters that aren't listed on this week's depth chart. Are they definitely out? Louis Lapuaho, Riker Matthews, and Kyle Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not sure on any of their status yet in terms of possibility for this game, season, how long they're going to be out. We have a pretty long list, actually, after this last game. In fact, I was walking back with Brett to grab it, but I just stopped and said, you know what, we'll just have Steve Pincock address that later, because the list is pretty significant. And I didn't know it after the game, but so you'll have to wait to talk to Steve and number of details. The O-linemen are just part of it.
With Tanner, you said he was 75-80%. Is there any thought to sitting him out this week?
Not for me. I think that we will all do the very best we can to play the best game possible. And the same would be for our quarterback. And we'll make the decisions as the game goes based on how it goes. I don't intend to give him a play off, a day off, a week off. I intend to help him get better if possible. And then we'll just manage the game as we see it.
You mentioned the injury list being that long. You've got an FCS opponent coming in with probably not the depth of an FBS team, just standard. And then the bye week, the timing of those things with that injury list.
Really, really good. Again, I didn't know the significance of the injury list until Sunday that's after the players come in for treatment, and the next day after sometimes things show up. And so timing-wise, yeah, we played a really tough early season schedule. And what I have learned is depth is really important when you play that kind of schedule, and having quality players and enough of them. And so, yeah, we're to this point, this has been kind of the tipping point of numbers of injuries that have kind of finally accumulated. And so, the bye after this game will be helpful.
Bronco, this game was set up so you could play Missouri, in essence, I guess. And
that sounds right.
One other team, I can't remember. But you gave up Idaho State and UNLV. In your eyes, is that kind of a good trade? Is that
we'll find out. I think the Missouri game at Arrowhead Stadium, again, I'm looking to play the best teams possible in the biggest stages. And so and I'd forgotten the details, but I think it is. And to have an SEC opponent late in the year, I think is something that is – I think it matters. And so, a lot of unique movement has to happen, but in thinking about it, to move the teams we had to get an SEC team at, it's not a neutral site, but at least it's not a home game for them, is, I think, is worthwhile. Talk to me in a couple of weeks, I might change my mind, but right now it seems like it.
Coach, can you put into perspective these past seven games in terms of the highs, the lows, the difficulty of this stretch?
Seems like just one long game right now that we won in the fourth quarter.
And also in the past, you've used these FCS games to play players that were seemed like they were on track to maybe redshirt. Is that the plan, to play players that will see time this year?
If the game goes that way, we'll play as many as we can. And again, I never know exactly how they're going to go, but if it does, then yeah, we'll play as many players as we can.
You've been to visit the Rock a few times, the kids camping out at the stadium. What does it mean to the program and to you to have that kind of support?
It's cool. You know, I love the idea of, we have the loyal, strong, and true fans, the older seasoned generation of fans that have come back for so many years. In fact, I was driving home from the game late after the game, and there was an older couple, royal blue and white, with the old BYU logo, the Gravedigger thing, arm in arm, and I don't know how many games they've been to, but I'd say 20-ish years would be my guess. And to kind of to see that end, and then before my radio show on Tuesdays, I usually stop by, and then to see this younger generation with hammocks hung on the fence and tarps, and it's pretty cool. And so I like the sustainability of the program and just the kind of the two extremes, and then there's this group in the middle. But we've had a great home field advantage, and it seems like we've gained momentum there this year for whatever reason.
Is there any reason behind the fourth quarter success?
I'm not sure. I would love to identify that and capture it and use it in the first quarter. But I think we just have resilient players. I think we have coaches that work hard during the game for adjustments. I think that our conditioning has shown up. I think all of those things are contributing. I'm not sure which, if any, is more important than the other.
In the past, you've had a redshirt policy where you don't identify players that will redshirt, and you almost make them earn it.
Yeah.
And then after the season's over, you decide. Has that changed at all? Is that
no? It's the same. And I guess I'm relatively old-fashioned that way. I love to see kind of a demonstration of work before an award happens, and so that's the approach I've taken. And I think it works pretty well. I've certainly made mistakes before in the past, sometimes awarding guys too early and sometimes not early enough, but that's I'm comfortable with the policy.
Coach, you talked about getting thrown in the fire with the schedule. Talk about the transition with Tanner, and now that you get the bye week coming up next week, how you felt that's gone. You know, you didn't expect Taysom to go down with season-ending injury. You know, you've had to resort to a freshman quarterback who's made some great plays throughout the season, and how you feel about that going forward?
I think we've done extremely well. To be at 5-2 after seven games, having not played with Taysom, and to see Tanner emerge and play as well as he have, I think we've done really well to this point. And I'm excited about our future.
So what point did you realize that Michael Wadsworth would be such a significant contributor to the defense?
Not until he came up and tackled and ran the alley against Nebraska. We weren't tackling well in that game, and we were looking for a spark and someone to wrap and drive someone back. And a couple times we looked up and it was him, and that gave him a chance, and he's just made the most of it, which is really a cool story, because his career up to that point had just been laden with injuries and heartbreak and thinking he was getting get ready to possibly compete and then get hurt. And so really fun. He's a great example of maybe the resiliency that this team is reflecting to this point. And again, to this point doesn't mean anything going forward. It just means to this point we've been resilient.
Does he remind you of any safeties you've had in the past?
You know, not really. He's gritty and he's tough and he just is doing always what he's supposed to do. Maybe in the mindset and mold of Scott Johnson, Kellen Fowler-ish, but yeah, I mean, he's his own player, and I'm impressed with what he's done so far this season.
Were you watching the end of the Michigan-Michigan State game live?
Well, the way that worked is I my family's been out of town, and so I did watch a football game. I'll accept I went out to feed my horses with a minute and 43 left. I think it was a minute and 43, and Michigan gets the ball back, and next thing I know, I'm getting in my truck to go get a burger, a milkshake or something, and on the radio it has the score shown, and I thought it was a mistake, and so then I went to my phone, and I couldn't believe it. And then I saw the play, and holy cow, is that ever amazing. You never know, that's all. And in a rivalry game as well, I don't have words to, I mean, that's, I turned the game off. Yeah.
Last question. You know, speaking about that with special teams, talk about the importance of your special teams this year and how proud you are of how far they've come since day one.
The units are separate, but they're also tied together. Our kickoff team is really, really improving. I like the consistency, with the exception of one game, of Trevor Sampson. He's just really trustworthy. Our punting game, which is one of the huge questions before, has really been a bright spot. So I like that. It was finally nice to get a punt return. We've struggled in that unit, so it was finally nice to have a breakthrough there, especially at the time that we had it. And our kick return hasn't yet. Adam Hine's injuries have had a lot to do with that, but our kick return hasn't yet kind of reached its potential. But overall, I think we're solid and have played fairly consistently.
Did you see Johnny make a difference after he had that punt block? Because he was out here talking about how different that was for him.
You know, he's done a really nice job all season, and that block, I think, just reminded all of us how fast a game can change and how fast an assignment mistake, or how fast, if you haven't coached something really clean and effectively, how fast that can come back to hurt you in the right situations. And that's why you play the games. Practice is fun, and I love that part. And games are stressful, and you see if what you've taught and if your preparation holds, and sometimes small things don't, and they're exposed, and that was one of those examples. So I think it heightened all of our awareness to get that part fixed.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.